Arm Aronson of the Total Sports Recall Podcast here to share a winning strategy for Father's Day from our partners at Sterling Roastery. If your dad treats his morning coffee like a pregame ritual, you need to introduce him to the Sterling Roastery lineup. This isn't that stale, over-roasted stuff sitting on our grocery shelf. Sterling roasts their beans multiple times a week for unbeatable freshness. The smart play? A coffee subscription. He gets to choose his grind, from French press to espresso, and his favorite roast, depth. It's a world-class lineup of Java that shows up like a reliable veteran on a perennial powerhouse team. Go to sterlingsoap.com and set him up. He'll thank you with every cup. That's sterlingsoap.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. It may be the offseason, but we are still talking football and football history here on Pigskin Dispatch. And we have a special guest today. He is a major collector of football cards. We've been covering that a lot here lately as one of our themes here for 2026. He's going to teach us a little bit about how he is collecting and show us parts of his collection. His name is Aaron Waxenfelter, and he is a Buffalo Bills card collector. Aaron, welcome to the Pigpen.
All right. Thanks so much, Darren. Glad to be here.
Yeah. Now, Aaron, before we came on, you know, we were talking a little bit about, our locations where we are. And you're out on the West Coast and you have Buffalo gear on and Buffalo shirt, Buffalo hat, Buffalo paraphernalia everywhere. How does a Buffalo fan come out on the West side of the country?
Well, let me tell you, it wasn't easy in the 80s when I was a kid. I was so hungry for Bill stuff, like the sporting news. Little blurb on the Bills was all I got, like once a month. But I first started liking them in the early 80s. I was super into Native American stuff and loved buffaloes and thought they were a cool animal. And I was like, oh, this team's got a buffalo on their helmet. That's cool. And then, I started collecting some cards and like, okay, this is my team. And, through the good, bad, ugly, I've been a Bills fan ever since 1980. So a football card is what kind of cemented my fandom. Before 1982 set, they didn't have the emblems on their helmet. So, I was a fan of them a little bit, but then this set came out. I don't know if you can see that there. this set came out in 82, and this is the Frank Lewis All-Pro card. So they had the actual emblem on the helmet, and then they had a little emblem down there by the flag at the bottom. And that's what really that set right there was like, okay, these guys look cool. This looks cool. This is my team. And they were actually good for a couple years there in the early 80s. And then they fell off a cliff for a little while till Jim Kelly came. But ever since then, I've been a diehard. And like I said, it was a little tough. Nowadays, there's so much information. There's a Bills program I can listen to every day if I want to. There's just everything out there. In the early 80s, like, none of the shops had Bills shirts or Bills hats or, it was very like, I'd go to Pro Image and like dig around and like, is there anything Bills, so it was much, much different back then. And then in about 2000, I got a subscription to what's called Bills Digest back then. And then they turned it into Shout Magazine. And so I'd get the subscription. Which like now sounds so antiquated. And then now like, bills.com's got everything, it's up to the minute. Like I know today who they've cut for cap casualties and like just happened 20 minutes ago. I know about it. So it's a much different world, much easier to be a Bills fan out here, but, in the 80s, not so much.
Yeah. I mean, people don't realize it. I mean, I live close to where my team plays. And I had the same thing, more in the 70s is when I started collecting, but same thing, we had, our digest of our local franchise of the Steelers Digest, the sporting news, you're bringing back old memories. I forgot about how exciting it was to wait for the sporting news to get delivered in the thing. And you're reading this information, it's probably like a week old by the time you have it in the local fish wrap or the, or in the sporting news. But I remember just studying like all the, they had the power, the top tens, I think in the sporting news, that was always fun to look at and say, hey, where's my team at? Hey, why aren't they in there? What's going on here? But yeah, you're bringing back some good memories there. And I'm sure for some of our listeners too.
Yeah. But, But yeah, I actually, my lifelong dream was to go back there and watch a game. And I, for my 50th birthday, that's what I got. I took my two kids, went back, and we saw the opening game, opening home game of the 2022 season. And that was kind of a dream come true. And it was really cool to be back there where, like, everybody loves the Bills. We're over here, like, nobody loves the Bills. So it was such a different thing, you know, to be surrounded by Bills fans. Every yard had a sign or a flag or whatever. And it was just really neat, a little bit overwhelming. Like, I went to the grocery store called Wegmans. I go into this grocery store, and it's just, like, Bills paraphernalia everywhere. It was, like, sensory overload, like, whoa. There's Bills hats and t-shirts and mugs. There's like everything Bills. So I kind of loaded up. I got two full duffel bags of stuff while I was back there.
Well, if you ever need somebody, I got a Wegmans about a mile from my home. And,
oh, really?
And even here in Erie, they have all the Buffalo stuff because it's a Buffalo centralized store. So it's, they're all over the place here in Western Pennsylvania too. But nice. Yeah, that's cool. So who was the game that you saw? Who did Buffalo play there?
I saw them play the Titans. The Titans actually were in the AFC Championship the year before that. And so they were supposed to be a good team, and we just demolished them.
Mike Vrabel was coaching the Titans then.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
so it was Vrabel and Derrick Henry. We held Derrick Henry to like 30 yards. It was a really fun game, and we scored a ton. Being an older guy, I had to go to the bathroom a couple times, and each time I went to the bathroom, I missed a touchdown. So I was like, darn bladder. But it was really fun, and my kids enjoyed it. And you know, they're not huge football fans, but they were for me, so that was neat for me. Like, my kids are like cheering on my team for my, you know, for my own case. So
they're living through your dreams a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, so I got two important questions though. You're going to your first Bills game. Did you do a table drop? What?
I didn't. We went to the big lot where like that stuff happens, and we saw a couple, and then there were like a lot of, because it was a Monday night game actually, and there were a lot of TV crews around, and they were filming the Bills Mafia and stuff. And you know, I got some pictures with some of the more prominent Bills fans, and I don't know if you've heard of John Murphy. He used to be the voice of the Bills, but I saw him in the parking lot. And I'd been listening to his program, listening to him call the games for a long time. And my one regret is I didn't go over and say thank you or say hi. Because a few weeks later, he had a stroke. And then now he's not the voice of the Bills. So I was like, oh, man, I should have said, like, thanks or something to John Murphy. But I chickened out. So
we had the pleasure. I go to, every April, I go to a PFRA meeting in Western New York. And it's hosted by folks that are Bills fans. So there's a lot of Bills connection. You know, Jeff Nixon, a former Bills player, he's in charge of the players association for the Bills, for the team. So he brings folks in all the time. And Murph talked last year or the year before. You know, he couldn't talk much because of his condition, but still a great communicator, a lot of fun, and got to meet him and shake hands with him. He's a good guy.
Okay, nice. Yeah. A little segue, because you brought him up. Jeff Nixon actually did an interview with me on my YouTube channel. It's called Pro Football Retro. So I interviewed him, got some stories from the early 80s Bills. And so if you want to look that up, you can check out my channel. And there's quite a few interviews with Bills players. Or I have a Bills, a daughter of a Bills player on there, and some football card specific stuff too.
So did Jeff play any guitar for you or anything?
He talked about it. He talked about him playing guitar and Doug Flutie playing the drums at their concert.
Yeah, they had a big thing. I think it was last summer they had it. And he had Flutie, and they had all built former Bills players playing in his band. They had a little concert. That's pretty cool. I didn't get to attend, but some folks I know went to it. They said it was a great thing. So yeah. All right. So, you know, so 1982, you have this set come out. And I can also appreciate that too. You're talking with these Topps cards, because that's what I grew up on as well. Mm-hmm. And I always thought, you know, the Steelers only have an emblem on one side of their helmet. A lot of people don't know that. Right. And we always thought, we weren't very smart as kids here. And so we'd always see the helmets, you know, just the black helmet, the gold stripe. I'm like, oh, they're always taking a picture from the wrong side of the helmet. You know, we didn't realize till later on that you know, they didn't have the rights to show the emblems with Topps. But 1982, that was the year. They just showed us in that earlier card. So where did you go from 82? You know, you have that set. That's what started you off.
Yeah, you know, when I was younger, we would buy football cards just like packs at, you know, Walmart or whatever. So we did have cards. That's just when, like, the Bills, like, solidified for me. But we did have cards starting in the 75 set with me and my two older brothers. We would take the cards out we had some property. We'd take them out on our little playground and play with cards in the gravel, in the dirt, like set up an offense, set up a defense, and smash them into each other. So we have
you have card collectors out there cringing right now.
Yeah, I know. I know. And some of our cards are very beat up. They look like they've been through the ringer. So we had the 75 top set, and then we had the Wonder Bread set, or as many of them as we got when we got Wonder Bread. So we like that kind of like my earliest memories of cards are those two sets, the tops and the Wonder Bread. And then we collected quite a bit, and then we got paper routes when I was seven, living in Portland, and we got paper routes on our bikes. And so we'd take our money down to the corner store, buy some candy and buy football cards. And so like the 1979, 1980 set, we bought tons of packs. And then we moved a little ways away. So we started actually getting full sets, I think in 83 is when we started getting full sets. Like you could buy just a set at the card shop in Portland because we didn't have a local store we could just ride our bike to anymore because we lived out in the country. So we'd get the full sets for a few years there, and that was kind of cool. And then, you know, the 88, 89 is when the junk wax started, you know, and for me, it kind of diluted it and kind of made it like I can't get every card anymore because there's, you know, Donruss and Pro Set and this and that and the other. And like when it was just one brand, you could be like, I got my set for the year, or like I got the cards. When it started getting so many, it just kind of like, oh, I can't get every Andre Reed for this year or whatever. You know, it's just like I'll get one. You know, so then that's where I kind of went is like, okay, I got my Andre Reed for this year. I got my Bruce Smith. And I wasn't brand specific, really. I do kind of prefer Topps just because they're the original. But, you know, now I did – when I had young kids, I took a little time off to be a dad and, you know, focus on work and school and whatever. But then I started like, okay, I want to at least get everybody for this current team. So I know who's on the team. So I like have that physical touch and feel it of the team. And then I started making my own cards some, cause it's like, well, they don't have this guy cause they stopped making all the offensive linemen and punters and all that, you know, they used to, you know, in the '70s, eighties, when they had these large sets of 528 cards, they'd make, you know, all these starters basically. Mm-hmm. Then they cut down to like, we're only making the skill positions and maybe if they're an all pro safety or something. But so then I'd start making my own cards. So I kind of went to that for a while. And I still do that a little bit for those obscure Bills that they don't make a card for, or like even Christian Benford, who's a great, you know, all pro cornerback. They don't produce cards for him. So I made my own, you know, Benford card. So, you know, stuff like that to just like, I'm very tactile. So I want to like hold the card, you know, look at the stats on the back, you know, put them in order of, you know, my team position wise and stuff like that.
Yeah. That's a cool thing. So we've talked about it, you know, on some episodes we had earlier, and we have basically, there's four types of collectors. People can go into like sort of four categories. And one of them is a team collector, which I'm guessing that's probably what you would consider yourself. The others are like set collectors. I guess you've had a little bit of experience doing like that. Some are player collectors where they only want, hey, I want all the Tom Brady's I can get, which you know, you just described really well because, you know, lately you've got to, you know, the last 30 years, you got to go to, you know, you kind of umpteen cards of one player just in one season. And
Not Tom Brady.
I'm sorry. I said a bad word.
Yes.
It's a four letter word. Sorry about that. But, and then, you know, we have people like myself. I created a fourth category. I collect them just to use in, you know, for some of my YouTube shorts and things, just to tell stories and show some images of these players and legends and help football stay alive. So you're doing a little bit of each of that. And that's really cool. I really can appreciate you doing that.
Yeah, I'm a little bit of a hybrid because mostly I do collect Bills. I want every Bills card I can find. I've got pretty much every commercially produced Bills card unless it's really obscure, like some of those, you know, regional type sets or some of the Coke caps or, you know, some of that thing. But I do also collect the NFL. I've got a few 5,000 count boxes of NFL, and I'll try to get runs of, you know, good players, players I like, Hall of Famers, things like that. But Bills is my focus. I have a little bit of Bills myopia, anything with the logo on it, you know, I want it. One of the coolest things I got to go back to the NFL Hall of Fame with my brother. At the NFL Hall of Fame, they have these postcards of each player. So I got every Bill that's been a Hall of Famer, and I love my Bills that are Hall of Famers. And also it reminds me of that trip and that time I spent with my brother and my uncle. And, you know, it was a cool time because, you know, we grew up loving football, talking about football, playing football cards. And so that was kind of a seminal moment. And we used to have this, these cards. I don't know if you remember them. They're the, they're the longer cards. They were made by Fleer. They're the Roll of Honor or something like that. But they were our first introduction to the Hall of Fame. And so, you know, players we would have never known about, like Don Hutson and Bronco Nagurski and stuff like that. We got these tall boy type Fleer cards of them. You know, going back there and seeing that actual place where those came from, that was pretty cool. But long way to answer your question. I am a little bit of a hybrid, but focused on the Bills. I'm trying to, again, collect every Bills card ever made.
Yeah, I had experience. I came across. I was walking through a local hobby shop a couple years ago. It was, I guess, not really a hobby shop, almost like a secondhand store. And I always look for football memorabilia or something I can have a conversation about, some history. And I saw these big things. You know, there was one of Bart Starr and one of, I think, Calvin Hill. And I'm like, what the heck are these things? They're big. They're, you know, almost 6 inches long. I couldn't figure out what they were. They were in a glass case. I looked at them. I asked the guy if he knew what they were. He didn't. So I ended up doing the Google in it. I took a picture of it and said, what is this? And it showed to me. And they were the 1970s super cards, top super cards. So there's like 37 of them. And I think 17 or 18 of them are Hall of Famers now, these guys. But the hardest one to get was a Buffalo Bill. Maybe it's a taboo word to say because he's kind of nefarious now, but OJ Simpson was the hardest and probably the most valuable card in that set. He was hard to get. And a good friend of mine, Bob Swick, hooked me up and helped me get that. You know, Bob's runs Gridiron Greats magazine, and he helped me get that one. But yeah, that was a tough one to get.
Yeah. Interesting thing about OJ. You know, you can't deny his talent, but not exactly proud of him. When the Bills came out with their 50th anniversary team, you know, they'd have three wide receivers. They'd have a couple quarterbacks. They had one running back, Thurman Thomas. So, you know, even the Bills franchise was like, we're just naming one running back. It's Thurman. And like kind of acting like nothing to see here, you know?
Fair enough.
I found that interesting. And I kind of, you know, you watch the old films of him. He was amazing, but you know, sometimes it's a player's personal life weighs on my like appreciation of them. Like, you know, like Tyreek Hill, not a fan. I'm sure, you know, he's fast. He's a good receiver and everything. I don't want him on my team because of who he is, you know? So some of those things, like I do have some OJ cards, but I'm not like super trying to collect a lot of OJ memorabilia. I do have the cards they produced of him just because I'm trying to get all the Bills cards, but kind of with chagrin.
So what's one of those cards that you were trying to get for the longest time and maybe you had a little bit of adventure getting it. Maybe you could tell us a story about that and what.
You know, the earlier 60s Bills cards are the tougher ones to get. They tend to be a little harder and, you know, a little tougher to come by. I really love this one.
You're talking like the AFL?
Yeah, the AFL Bills. Yeah. Okay. So I love this one year right here. I think it's a 66. And they look like an old TV, like the console TV with the brown wood grain.
It's washing it. There you go. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. So that's my Billy Shaw of that year. So I was trying to get all the Bills of that year, and it took me quite a while. You know, because I'm also cheap, which is one thing. Like, you can be a collector.
Frugal. Frugal is a better word. Yeah. You're frugal.
Frugal. You can be a collector and be frugal. Like, I've got a Billy Shaw jersey I found at a local card shop here in Oregon, signed for $25. So you can, like, I've never spent more. I think the most I've ever spent on a card is $15. Is the most I've ever spent on a card, because I don't care about graded, and I just want one of each. I think it was a 67 Jack Kemp that I found that was the $15. Those 1960 through 68 Bills cards have been kind of the hardest to find.
Especially the championship years, the AFL championship.
But then some of the ones I'm still trying to find are the more obscure, like they have some Frito-Lay cards, or, you know, they have these Police League cards or whatever. And those ones, you know, you can't just go on Trading Card Database and find them, or, you have a hard time finding them. There's these ones that were produced in Buffalo called Bell's Market cards, and they were a local market that produced these cards. They took the pictures, I think, at their training camp. This is Reggie McKenzie. But those have been a little bit tough to find. And then, I still have a big list of, because I'm trying to get also players that not necessarily in a Bills uniform that played for the Bills. So there's some Kansas City Chiefs Frito-Lay cards that I'm still hunting, different ones. I have this Seattle Seahawks Tom Lynch card. He played for the Bills in the 80s, but the only card they ever made for him was Seattle Seahawks Police League. So I had a little tough time finding that. Just stuff like that. That's more obscure and not one of the major brands like Topps or Fleer or Philadelphia or something like that.
Yeah, that's everybody has those as a collector, especially when you're collecting for one team and you're ways away from where people would have them, you know, probably over in my area, they're probably more prevalent, but the world of the internet and, communicating and everything. So maybe, maybe somebody has that card that you're looking for. And actually, folks, if you do, reach out to Aaron and we'll put the link to your YouTube channel on there. So maybe people can throw in your comments or something. If they got something, maybe they can hook you up and get you your card you're looking for.
Yeah, that'd be great. When I was back there, I went to a lot of flea markets and a lot of things kind of searching for this. I found this Mike Mularkey training camp card. So it wasn't, widely distributed or anything. People got them when they went to the training camp. And there was a small set of these. But those were the only Mike Mularkey coach card. You know, I've got some when he was a Steelers tight end. Mm-hmm. this was an awesome find. I was like, oh, that's awesome. And, at a flea market, it was only a quarter or something like that.
Yeah, those are so unique. How many of them were produced? Nobody knows, but not as many as a Topps card.
Right.
We have another grocery store chain in our area too, from out of Pittsburgh, Giant Eagle, and they always would have some cards. And the Steelers would have good seasons, like in the mid '90s. There's a bunch of cards. So, and I'm sure probably Wegmans did probably in the '90s too. I'm not familiar with that, but I know Wegmans has all kinds of different, little trinkets and Bill's paraphernalia that you can.
Fisher Price Little People set is really fun. Right now,
you would love it. They just had one for sale. We were shopping at Wegmans last Sunday, and they had a thing. They said, "Oh, we're selling all these things for like $5 a piece, the whole set of the team." Uh-huh. Like, I don't know, 10 characters in there.
yeah,
they're out there. That's cool. All right, so you had two older brothers. Now, did they also, were they also Bills fans, or were you guys?
No, my middle brother Royce, he is a Vikings fan. So we share the Super Bowl loss trait. We both lost four and never won one. But he loved the Vikings growing up. He saw them play the Steelers in the Super Bowl and just kind of fell in love with them. My uncle was going for the Steelers because he's from the PA area, and my brother decided to go against my uncle. And then my oldest brother, he had a couple teams he liked. We're in the Northwest, so he did like the Seahawks. You know, we'd go up to a couple Seahawks games. And then he also liked the Green Bay Packers. You know, he would root for either of those teams. But, you know, Seahawks are kind of all of our second favorite team because that's who was on TV. That's who was the local team. And I do like the Seahawks. I was, you know, once the Bills were out of the playoffs this year, I was like, okay, now I'm full in on the Seahawks. But yeah, lately I've been trying to go to one Seahawks game per year. You know, and when they played the Bills, I wore my Bills gear and we beat them. And then 1 year later, they're in the Super Bowl and they, you know, they really grew this year. So I was kind of proud to be a secondary Seahawks fan this year.
It was real close. It could have been a Bills Seahawks Super Bowl, you know.
Yeah, should have been.
A couple things happened, yeah.
Not saying anything about the refs, but, you know.
Right. Yeah, watch it. I'm a former official, so.
Oh, really?
High school official, but, yeah.
So was it a catch, sir? Was it a catch?
Well, I have my opinion. I did an episode on it with a guy that comes on, Ed Cleese. And I told him, I said, I think they got it right. Because if he would have been, fallen to the ground or hit the ground and the ball would have came out and hit the ground, what would have been? It would have ruled an incomplete pass, right? Yeah. So, because they got to complete the catch. And I know this because, you know, we had a game against the team you love to hate, the Patriots. The Steelers had Jesse James, their tight end, go across the goal line and got the ball knocked out and lost them the game. It was right near the end of the game. And it would have knocked the Patriots out of the playoffs, I believe. Or maybe a playoff game. I can't remember exactly the circumstance. But the Steelers lost a game because of that, because he didn't complete the catch. You know, it came out before he made his football move. So that's what I think. I think they got it right. And I'm not saying they do it a lot, but I think they got it right in that case.
All right. Agree to disagree, Darren.
Okay. If I was wearing the colors you're wearing, I probably would be saying the same thing. That's for sure. All right. So where do you want to take your collection from here? Are you like having your children picking up where?
Yeah, unfortunately, they don't give two shakes about it. So, you know, that's one thing I think about is, like, you know, I'm 53. At some point, you know, I'm not going to be here anymore. I've curated and loved this collection since I was, like, you know, some of these cards, I still have some of the original cards from when I was 3 and 4 years old. So I'm like, oh, this is kind of my, like, this whole room is full of cards here. And this is my, like, little, you know, man cave full of Bill stuff. And nobody else cares. So I'm like, okay, you know, when I retire and stuff, I'm probably going to go the other way around and start, you know, taking stuff to card shops, taking stuff, you know, to shows, memorabilia shows or whatever, and trying to unload it to somebody who will appreciate it. Cause, you know, to my wife or my kids, it's just a piece of cardboard and they has no, like, you know, sentimental value to them. I did remember that name. It's called Immortal Roll. So those Immortal Roll cards, from 1975, like, those mean something to me, but they're, you know, they're not really worth a lot, or they don't mean anything to anybody else. So my first thing, both me and my brother and our wills, my middle brother, Royce, have willed each other our football card sets. So, you know, that's kind of where my brain is going now is, you know, I kind of want to put together, I want to pull out all my really valuable cards that I want to actually give them to my wife and kids and say, like, these are worth money. Don't just toss them or, you know, get rid of them at a garage sale. So those things, like, I have a Jim Kelly 1984 USFL rookie card. And, I have some cards that, you know, are worth putting in a sleeve, putting in a, you know, top loader or whatever, and putting aside and going, like, these ones, you know, like, These are worth some actual cash. A lot of my cards aren't. A lot of my cards, like I said, I'm frugal. You know, I bought a lot on the cheap, and I don't expect anything out of them other than my enjoyment. Okay. I am still hunting a lot of those really obscure cards for my Bills set. You know, the like Jim Leonard, he just became our defensive coordinator. I don't have a Jim Leonard card. He played for us in the early 2000s, but they only made a couple real obscure cards of him. So I'm, you know, hunting stuff like that, stuff that you, even on eBay, you put it in, it's not on eBay. So, you know, that sort of thing, your stuff. And then every year I'm trying to make sure I've got the team. Like I just went out and got a DJ Moore card, 'cause we just traded for DJ Moore yesterday. Oh, yeah. Now I got a DJ Moore card. So anything like that happens, I'm like, okay, now I got to get that card. But I feel like I've got the bulk of my Bills. I'm just kind of like adding all the very fringe stuff. And then I am still making cards. I've made over 300 of my own cards. So I'm still like, okay, they're never going to make a card of this guy. I'm going to make one, like, you know, their punter from last year. They're never going to make a card of Wisnowski. So right. I'm making a Wisnowski card.
They might not have enough letters to put on the card of their own name on there.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm still active in it. I still have my little room. I have a sign on the door that says Bills Boulevard. So I'll tell my wife, hey, I'm going to the Boulevard. I'll come in here and, you know, make cards, or I'll, you know, sort some cards I bought at a card show or a card shop or on eBay or whatever.
Yeah. All right. So we've been asking other collectors, because part of what we're doing this year is we're trying to get newer collectors to recognize what to aspire to, like yourself, you know, what you're doing. And so what kinds of tips and advice maybe can you give to a newer collector that wants to collect teams, especially from your perspective? You're 2,000 miles away from where your team plays their home games. And what advice can you give them?
Yeah, you know, the internet has sure helped. You know, eBay, Trading Card Database, these kind of places have really helped, you know, make it more, you know, doable. I would say try not to collect every single card nowadays, because they have so many refractors and this and that and the other. If you're like, I want to get every single Josh Allen card, you're never going to do it, because you know, they have so many of them. It's cost prohibitive too. You know, you're going to spend all your money getting that special autographed one of one or whatever. I would say, you know, love your team. Try to you know, get as much as you can, but maybe limit it to two or three of each guy per year, or even at least one per year. You know, I've got my 2018 through my 2025 Josh Allens, you know, instead of I have 12 this year and 35 this year, and, you know, like, it can get overwhelming if you're like, I'm going to collect every single, you know, Josh Allen card or every single XYZ guy.
Paralysis by analysis almost.
Yeah. Right. Like, I can't do it. And so making a little doable list, I'm a list person, and it feels really cool to like, hey, I've got all the 1970 Bills. I crossed them all off. I got them. You know, it feels kind of like you accomplished something. And if you're a newer collector and you're not an old fart like me, you know, you might start at like, okay, I started liking the Bills in 2015, or I started liking the Steelers in 1996, or, you know, kind of when you started and what grabs your heart, start there. But then the history, I mean, cards can be a really good, cool way to learn history. You know, you flip over the card, you're like, oh, this guy was a car salesman, you know, in the off season, or, you know, hey, this guy, you know, got a degree in radio broadcasting, or, you know, it's kind of interesting human interest level stuff on the back of the older cards. So I would say, you know, I encourage the vintage stuff. There's just kind of a charm about the vintage to me. So if you love a certain team, kind of learn their history through cards a little bit, and kind of take yourself back to a little bit of a simpler time, you know, when they weren't making $30 million a year. You know, they had to get a summer job, or, you know, they had to get an off season job. You know, some of the interesting parts to me too are seeing like the heights and weights. You know, you could have a center that was 6 feet, 240 pounds, or even less, you know, and he was the center or like a defensive tackle that weighed 230, you know, and if a guy was 260, he was a big man, you know, and like now, if you're under 300 pounds, like don't even worry about being on the interior part of the line.
Yeah, you're 260, you're a wide receiver now, you know.
Right. There you go. Yeah, not too far off. So I encourage, you know, start small, start doable, and don't get too overwhelmed. Make some lists and feel some accomplishments by crossing off a year, or like, you know, crossing off, hey, I want, you know, 1 year of every Thurman Thomas and cross them all off. But yeah, you can get overwhelmed because the amount of product out there since basically the 90s, but now they've got all these color, you know, the orange and the black and the whatever. To me, like, it's the exact same card, whether it's green on the front or blue, you know. So I don't care about that. But, you know, I like the players and I like learning a little bit and kind of like being a fan through the cards a little bit. But yeah, that's my main thing is I would say start small. And then as you cross something else, go like, okay, now I want to get this, or like, ooh, I saw this set. That's pretty cool. And another way to learn history is some of these legend sets. I don't know if you've seen these, but like the 97 Upper Deck Legends is my favorite set. Cause it's got a lot of the Hall of Famers, a lot of the legends, but with newer graphics, newer, you know, abilities to make a really neat looking card, and then all their stats on the back. I'm a big stats guy. I like not just 1 year of stats. I like the whole career. So that's one thing I love about those Upper Deck Legends. It has the whole career on the back. So you can see every team they played for, you know, every stat they ever made. So,
yeah, well, that's great advice. So before we let you go, why don't you, let's give a plug again on your podcast and maybe something you got coming up that people can look forward to listen to.
Okay. Yeah, it is called Pro Football Retro. So it's focused on three main things: football cards, and then the United States Football League from 1983 to 1985. I've got quite a few interviews of players on that. And then the Buffalo Bills. So if you're into any of those three things, I'd encourage you to check it out. I do have some collaborations with my brother. Like, we did our 20 favorite football cards. And so on there, you know, we each show our football card and we talk about why we like that. So if you're a football card person and you want to weigh in, or you want to think about like, why do people like certain cards? And then I've been collaborating with another friend, Kelly Reed. Unfortunately, he's a Cowboys fan, but he's a nice person. You know, we'll get together, talk about like, hey, who's your five top running backs from the 70s or something like that. And then whatever the topic is, we'll each take turns and talk. And that's been really fun, just to kind of, you know, shoot the bull about football, you know, some people of the same age, kind of like remembering some of our favorite things. So we've done quite a few of those. You can check out either my site or Royce's, my brother. His is called Viking Wax Press. He does a lot with the new UFL, the new incantation of the USFL. And then Kelly Reed, he does a weekly podcast on, it's called Card Blitz. So I'd encourage anybody who loves football to check out any of those. I've actually loved watching your stuff, Darren, about the history, like the history of the goalpost. And, I just love interesting stuff, like obscure, weird, interesting. So I want to hit a little bit more on stuff like that. I do have planned in the AFL, they had all-star games, which one of them they boycotted because of the Jim Crow laws in the South. So I want to do one on that. And then one of the years they had the Bills championship team as one of the teams, and then all the other stars were the other team. So it shows like all these Bills made the Pro Bowl this year. Well, not really. The whole team made the Pro Bowl because they won the championship. So if you look at Pro Football Reference, it's a little bit like, why did that guy make the Pro Bowl? He wasn't that great. Oh, it's because they all did. So little obscure, weird stuff like that is – is kind of my next direction.
Yeah, that's great history. And folks, if you're driving in the car, you can't write that down. We will put notes in the show notes of the YouTube channel and the podcast where you can catch Aaron's and Royce's and Kelly's podcast. We'll put the links of all those on our plug. I'm going to be a guest on Royce's Vikings Wax Press, and we very interesting episode he has on some Army Navy gear at the he's going to be talking about with us, and stay tuned for that. I think he's going to let us collaborate and put that on our YouTube channel too after he does that. So that'll be some good stuff. So Aaron, we really appreciate you coming on here, taking some time to share your collection, share the history, share your knowledge, and you know, keep on collecting, and thank you.
All right, thanks so much.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hi, everyone. There's a new podcast in town, Statman and Robin. We are the dynamic duo of Baltimore sports history.
We have lots of stories to tell about the great and not so great teams and players in Baltimore's rich sports history, and some of the more obscure ones, too.
We grew up together with these teams and players, and we'll add our experiences to these great stories.
Yep, we were there for a lot of them. Join us here on the Sports History Network.